Welcome to the Wizards of dApps podcast, where we interview the creators of various decentralized applications in the Web3 ecosystem. We learn about how they are built and the insights that come from shipping. And we're your co-hosts. I'm Peter.
And I'm Bethany.
Welcome back to this episode of Wizards of dApps podcast. We talked to Jimmy from NFT42 and Avastars. We basically go down a rabbit hole of like what we think about the space, and it's a generally fun chat. I hope you enjoyed this one. Once again, this podcast is supported by 1KX. Thank you very much. Hi, welcome back to the Wizards of dApps podcast. I'm back with Jimmy. I guess you're mostly known in the space for Avastars, right?
I hope so.
Yeah, but it's awesome. I would definitely say it's like been there a couple of times, just like scrolling and like, you're definitely an interesting character, I think, in the NFT space, right? Because I can tell that you're not afraid to just say what's in your mind.
That's extremely true. I mean, to a fault, right? I get myself into situations that I never intended to get into just by sharing my opinion. But I've also accepted along the way that that's just part of it. When you have strong opinions and you're willing to share them, people are going to react to that. And, we're all human. I don't always react in the best ways. I let emotions get in the way and everything else. But I'm usually pretty true to my word. And, if I did something or said something that I don't believe anymore or found out is not correct, and I usually correct the record for myself as well, and I'll own up to my mistakes. But yeah, I definitely can draw some controversy talking about like these NFT tokens and the, stirring up some drama around technology. I'm pretty good at that at times. I've been trying to be a little bit more quiet and democratic the last couple months. I feel like I wasted.
No. Yeah, I think this is like, you add a lot of flavor to the NFT community, I'd say that, for the better.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I get encouraged a lot. Like, I always feel bad though too, because it's usually at the expense of someone else's opinion. And even if I'm not personally going after an individual, it can't help but like, feel personal to them, because I've had my opinions and stuff attacked quite regularly. I've been trying to just be a little bit more empathetic to everybody recently. I mean, I think I got myself in a lot of trouble when I started saying what was and wasn't art.
That was the greatest saga of the NFT community.
I actually learned a lot from that. Like, so anybody can be an artist, it turns out. All you have to do is say that you're an artist, and that makes you an artist. So that just means there's a wide range of artists in this world, and there's good ones and bad ones, but apparently it's not okay to judge an artist. You can't say if they're a good artist or a bad artist, because beauty is always in the eye of the beholder. And
of course you can say someone, I mean, like from your perspective, right? You can say what the fuck you want, right? Like about someone's art and their work. And
that was the argument coming my way, by the way, though. Like, I'm not allowed to like criticize art and everything else. I mean, it's funny because for a long time, too, I tried not to even mention Robness or his totter, his trash can. But it has kind of become this iconic thing. I have no control over whether or not that becomes popular or not. And I'm a part of that history in some way. So at some point, I've got to just fucking embrace it. I don't own any trash can art.
Rarible thanks you. Rarible hat tips you.
Right. I mean, it's kind of cool, right? To like know the inside baseball to like why those things are so popular, if nothing else. So that's me, stirring up some shit. A lot of times this shit stirring serves a purpose as well. I'm trying to draw attention to something or, something else. I think at the time I was definitely getting ready to launch Avastars and just making sure people could hear me screaming from the top of the cliffs.
When you were launching it, I actually realized, oh my God, this is spot.
Right. You stir up controversy, you get everybody looking at you. And I mean, I think that Matt and Rizzle both realized that, right? I was in the middle of stirring the shit when NFT NYC was going on. And I got to meet up with those dudes. And they were just egging me on, man. They just wanted me to rant. But they understood, right? They understood that it was attention and everything else. I believe that the podcast that I did with Matt and Rizzle on the Matt and Rizzle show, I think it was You Deserve a Drink. I think that one did pretty well for them at the time too. Like, it was one of their most listened to podcasts, and it was because of all the controversy that I stirred up with the Drobness and Max to a lesser extent. That's how I met Rizzle, and I was ranting at NFT NYC. I was yelling at the stage when they were on there talking about the Nike patent, because Nike just stole all these ideas that already existed and put it together into their own thing and made a patent. And the guy Jody that puts on NFTMYC was really excited about the patent and wanted to talk about how this is good for the space. And I was like, this is not good. They're stealing from us. Anyways, that went on for like 5 minutes. And Rizzle came up to me and was like, dude, let's hang out more. You know, so yeah, he's been working with us for the last few months. And he always, even just yesterday, like I was ranting about something in a meeting between him and myself and Nate Alex, our developer. And he's like, dude, we need a Jimmy rant. We're due. He'll probably be happy that you brought this up today.
A pep talk.
But yeah, that worked out pretty well for the launch, right? And the launch went really, really well. And we sold out of our founders. I think we raised about 200 ETH with that. And then we sold out of Series 1 really fast. And then we're about 60% through Series 2, a little more than 60% through Series 2 right now. Things slowed down a lot when gas spiked. And we're happy about that because, well, we're not happy about that. We're happy that people didn't continue to mint when gas was extremely high because we actually pay the cost to mint the NFT. A user has to pay to send us gas, like, or pay gas to send us ETH, but we actually then mint the NFT in a separate transaction and we pay that gas cost. So we've really been impacted as much as others have by the gas cost. But with things going down the last couple of days, we've been able to start to see more and more people are minting Avastars yet again. So I think a lot of people are waiting for gas to come down just to even submit the transactions to us.
Going back to the contentious, like, you know, the, I guess, you know, the controversy point, I'm good friends with like Amin, and he's meme lord himself, I guess. And he once told me this roughly along this like analogy or this like proverb along the lines of like, any controversy is good controversy. And the key is to not piss off more than 51% of the crowd. Because once you do that, the crowd turns on you, right?
You're absolutely right, man. Like, I had never thought about it like that, but it's very much like a Byzantine attack on your opinion, right? Because the one thing is that throughout that phase where I was in those battles, I always had people DMing me and thanking me. And I'm like, geez, like, I thought I really stuck my neck out too far here. And apparently I didn't, right? People are like putting shields over my neck in the form of DMs and telling me, like, keep up the good work and everything else. So I no longer really take issue with what I took an issue with back then. I don't know like how wrong I was, but I mean, I was equally as wrong as anybody else, maybe 51% wrong. I don't know. I think consensus opinion was that, like, I don't think collectors that were on Super Rare at the time really wanted to see a bunch of spam stuff going up on there. I think one of the things that gives artwork on Super Rare value is the curated collection. And that may cease to be the case in a larger market. But I think, like, in the smaller market we were playing in February, it was very much the case. Rarible is like the worst user experience of any of the platforms for collecting NFTs, right? But they're like paying people to use their platform. So they've just absolutely blown up. And, you know, my theory there is that they blow up, they get all this attention and visibility, and they'll backfill into this position they put themselves in. They'll improve their platform as it's gaining popularity. I think it's going to work out for them in the long run. I think Rarible's established themselves, and now OpenSea needs to answer. I like the curated marketplaces too, right? Like, it's easier to find stuff when you're waiting. So that was where the controversy kind of started over too, was like, you know, just wanting high quality stuff on there.
KO and like Super Rare, they're more like co-ops, like art co-ops and curated galleries rather than like something much more open, like, I guess, Rarible, right?
I agree. Both have a very... they're very necessary, right? I think we need the open marketplaces, and we need to allow for new artists to be discovered and a broader, longer tail approach. And then I think people value their time, and that's where the curated marketplaces can come in. You can have some trust for curation. And look, we took this approach with Avastars as well. We actually just got the feature in place, but it was always something that we've discussed. And that is that a person can go in and scroll for hours and hours and hours to randomly generate and find Avastars. We also have a global feed where users can that have the time can go in and scroll and find ones they think other people want to purchase. And then they can just go and look at that global feed and pay. It's close to a 50% finder's fee on the cost of the Avastar. So 0.07 Avastar actually costs 0.1 now. So it adds 0.3 to the cost. And then that doubles at each rarity level. But then you can save time then, right? If you don't want, so that's actually a curated Avastars feed of yet-to-exist Avastars that a person can elect to make into an NFT. The scrolling, like, you guys had Clovers on, and that was at a time when we were trying to figure out how we're going to deliver randomly generated Avastars through our dApp. And at this time, we were just going to, like, make people pay a fee and then they get back an avatar randomly generated. We were looking at like a commit reveal on blockchain. We were going to do all the random generation on chain. But then we saw Clovers, and I like obsessed over Clovers for 24 hours straight. I just scrolled and scrolled and scrolled and scrolled. And Dapper Labs, I was using Dapper Wallet, and they accused me of like the wording they use. They're like, people are exploiting our wallet, the free gas. And I was like, hang on, it's not an exploit if I'm just doing transactions on a dApp. Like, come on, man. Like, but it's nice because this is EV positive with the free gas. So thanks. Unfortunately, Clovers broke Dapper Wallet, I think, forever, and it never recovered from that fiasco. It wasn't just me. It was a bunch of people degenerating on that, yourself included, I'm sure. That was a cool experience, though, right? Like sitting there scrolling, and I've never really played Othello very much, and I'm not really into like these data sets of outcomes of Othello games.
I never knew it was about Othello much more, like, until I started digging into it. I just thought it was like fun, like art.
Find patterns. This looks rare, right?
It's a fun bunch of circles, right? Random circles, you know. This looks like a dog, you know, this looks like a goat. It's like, you know, I'm collecting a zoo.
We actually had that experience too for Avastars, because that's how we were testing Avastars. We would spot check through scrolling through the traits as we had them built, and we were trying to get them to all to match up and everything else. And like, I'm sitting there one day scrolling Clovers, and then in the other screen on my computer, I start scrolling Avastars, and I was like, fuck, hold on, this is it right here. So I hit up Cliff and our developer, and he said, yeah, this is a lot better than what we were going to do. So we went in that direction. I don't remember if I heard about Clovers from your podcast or if I listened to it like the day after I heard about it, but I remember just being so stoked that you were having Billy on from Clovers to talk about that. Like, it was just one of my favorite episodes.
That's like the fourth episode ever of Wizard of Dapps podcast.
Absolutely, man. Like, I was devouring this stuff. Like I said, like, I think I was telling you before we started, like, I found your podcast at a time where I just could not get enough, and I still can't. But when I realized I couldn't get enough NFT news and enough NFT information, and I wanted to know the new things that are happening in NFT space, and at least last year, the best place to find that was actually probably on your podcast. Like, you really had your finger on the pulse. And it looks like, you know, this year too, you've started to really pick things up and put your finger back on the pulse. I think you took a few months off here in the spring or something like that.
Thank you so much for saying that. That means a lot, actually.
Absolutely. I'm pretty sure I've supported you on Gitcoin. I'm not 100% certain. I haven't done this round of grants, but I may have done it over the last couple too. Yeah, big supporter of the podcast, man.
I get to talk to interesting people and pick their brains and also share it. It's a pleasure. And I'm super glad to be talking to you, actually. You feel Avastars, you know, what else are you working on in this space right now?
Couple things. Yeah, so we are NFT 42.
Why 42?
Well, there's a few reasons.
Is it 420 without the zero? Or?
I hadn't thought of that reason, but I mean, weed's great. I hadn't thought of that, but sure. No, the real reason is I'm 42 this year. So I turned 42 the beginning of this year. And I can't say that I'm probably as big of a diehard fan as some others are of Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, but the answer to life, the universe, and everything is 42. So NFTs are the answer to everything. And so NFT 42, that's really the main reason. And then the third reason is because fucking names don't matter. I just needed a name with NFT in it, and 42, and it doesn't matter, right? Like, whatever your brand is, it's more about like what you do rather than what your brand name is. Your brand name can literally be anything, and that's not going to like determine your success. Rather than spend a ton of time just trying to figure out the perfect name, which I did. I mean, I spent cycles on it. I found NFT 42, I registered the domain name, and I went with it. So it's going to work out just fine too. So NFT 42 is our parent company, and we kind of launch projects underneath of that. Avastars is obviously our biggest one. It's our flagship. But what happened was that Rizzle, shortly after NFT NYC, Rizzle from Scent Fame came over and joined the team full time. He gave himself the job title of point guard, and he went off to the races. And what Rizzle ended up focusing on, I mean, I probably at the time was thinking that like we were going to do a lot of stuff with Avastars, but Rizzle's actually really built out the Token Smart community, and with that, the work in progress, the WIP with Matt. That's really spawned and grown more out of NFT 42 since Rizzle joined the team. You know, the WIP, Matt deserves credit for starting that and everything else. We kind of joined forces in late February, really early March,
The whip is like now become like the spiritual heart of the NFT space.
I love it, man.
It's just like a place to fucking hang out. And like, I haven't been going because it's like fucking late my time zone.
I always miss it too. I make it to like 25% of them these days. Like for some reason now, like since it's actually gotten really, really good, like I always have a meeting at, it's 1 o'clock on Thursdays. My time is the whip. So I know what you mean. But yeah, it's fun, right? It's like a break. Like we're all kind of like having fun with whatever. All of us that are fortunate enough to find work here in NFT land and in crypto, like I think we all have fun. It can be really intense. But that's a chance to like kind of showcase like what's the latest and greatest and also like just relax and enjoy hanging out with the people that you've gotten to know. So especially during COVID, like, you know, I hate to say it, but like the whip wouldn't be what it is if, you know, the pandemic hadn't hit.
It's arguably true in the sense that you kind of like the whip, you're in these puzzles and they're like often very beautifully like kind of created and designed, a lot of work put into them, right? When you're locked in or like shut down or these facilities or just, it's very hard to find interesting art. It's like, what else do you find art if you don't have access like physically, right? Like go in person, you know, you go online, like what do you have, right? Oftentimes it's like visiting this guy's puzzle, he or she's puzzle, right? And it's like, you know, looking at what's been built. It's really therapeutic, actually, just walking through voxels nowadays.
You're absolutely right. That's what's missing right now, too, is that like we don't really have a lot of virtual spaces, and there's not a really great crossover into physical for our NFTs and stuff. And art is a nice emotional release, you know, and, you know, while we're all locked in and locked inside and can't really, you know, go out and do much, it is nice to have some kind of ability to go and experience art in virtual worlds, in crypto voxels in particular. And then also just like understanding and keeping your finger on the pulse of what's going on in NFT land. There's a couple different hubs I've seen crop up around information in the space. We've got crypto Twitter, Reddit, not really so much. And of course, we have all these different Discord communities based around projects and things. I think like the Whale community, which I'm involved in, that's a very active community. There's a lot of information that's crossing Discord server screens every day there. Token Smart, you know, we were really busy when we launched, and then we kind of changed our format around to make it a little bit more manageable for normal users, and we kind of lost some of the magic there. And then the whip really brought that back, and now we've got a pretty active server there as a result of the meetups that we've started to do. So I understand too, I hope I'm not stepping out of line, are you joining the whip crew?
Not yet. I just really reached out to see if I can help.
Sounds like they want your help.
Yeah, no, I'm definitely going to think through like the idea of like a whip coin, right? And just like thinking about like, if you attend a whip, you should just get one coin and maybe you have perks. Maybe there's like a tokenized chat room where like you need to go to at least 10 whips to join this chat room. I would probably start going to fairly consistently, honestly, if like I had to collect at least 5 or 10.
What if I told you exactly that exists? I mean, did you know that we have the whip coin?
Yeah, Rizzle and Matt, I actually chatted to them yesterday about this. They're like,
okay. You said you guys were talking this week. I think they get a little bit more than one whip. I think we give out 1,000 whip coin for every event attendance, and it's split amongst the attendees. It's a 1 million cap coin. It's just supposed to be a fun meme coin. There is no value to it. I think the last night I was explaining it this way, like if BTC and Ethereum are supposed to send us to the moon, then Whipcoin will draw you towards the center of the earth. Whatever the opposite of going to the moon is, that's what Whipcoin is. I just want to make that clear. If you own 10 Whipcoin, you can attach your MetaMask wallet to your Discord role, and you can claim a WhipFam role, and that will give you access to a secret channel in our Discord server. So it's kind of exactly what you're describing there. That's just the very beginning. That's the first thing we're doing with it. You don't have to spend it. You just have to have it. You just have to hold it. And we added last night the role Whip Whale, which serves absolutely no purpose. It just gives you a role in our Discord server with a nice yellow name. I'm not sure. I think a couple people have claimed it so far. It's fun. I mean, the Whip coin part is a kind of a fun aspect to the Whip. Rizzle deserves credit for the idea. He just kind of decided that, you know, let's do a coin just for the memes. And it actually is pretty neat, though, because it's a fair distribution model. You have to attend to get one. It doesn't cost anything to get except for your time. It's almost like the proof of attendance protocol, but in the form of an ERC-20. Someone created a pool for it last night. I'm not too happy about that. I was hoping no one would do that. I wanted to create a Whipcoin to Whipcoin pool where where you could only trade Whipcoin for Whipcoin. Uniswap wouldn't let me do that. So
big brain.
Yeah. I mean, I'm pretty sure Doge probably tried to do it first.
By the way, what's your background? And like, how did you, obviously the usual spiel, but like, why did you join the space? And like, you know, how did you kind of get sucked in?
You know, I was looking for the next thing. I was looking for a long time. I started and ran a technology startup. We were a Google Apps reseller. It's not called Google Apps anymore. It's called G Suite. We implemented Gmail for businesses and government and stuff like that. I did that for about 7 years. I also worked at Google for 4 of those years as a contractor and like program manager and trainer. I'd go in and help train people. I then helped develop their business transformation strategy, that their go-to-market strategy for business transformation, which is basically like going in and teaching businesses how to leverage technology that they have access to. That was really interesting because it's both working with G Suite and working then on like the business transformation strategy with Google. Those are the technology itself and then the actual approach there in the later part of my career. Like those are very forward-thinking and new technology entrenched positions where I was always like on the cutting edge of what can we do with this? Like at the time, like kind of this new real-time online work environments like Google Docs was a brand new thing, like this asynchronous. I mean, in 2007, when I started, I think they were still talking about like asynchronous JavaScript being like a innovation of sorts where you could have like chat going on in the same window as you have emails being delivered. That's what I did. And then I exited my business there in 2013. I took like 4 or 5 years off. I couldn't figure out what I was going to do next. I couldn't find that next thing. I was like, shit, I thought this was easy. I was aware of Bitcoin and stuff.
They say that the car project is trying to find the next project.
It really is. So it took me, you know, better part of 5 years. I eventually, you know, someone reminded me that Ethereum and Bitcoin exist. And I was like, oh shit, it's been in front of me the whole time. And I set up a mining rig and then mined enough Ethereum that when CryptoKitties launched, I happened to have enough to buy a kitty. And I didn't understand what the hell was going on, but I knew I liked it. Like, I knew I had just paid too much for a shitty cat. I already knew that inherently.
Sounds like crypto.
Right. Like, I was already getting tired of like the altcoin stuff a month in. Like, even like the last week has been kind of a little bit of a repeat of that alt season in 2017, where like all this DeFi farming and everything else going on, like, man, I was exhausted yesterday. I woke up at 7, I hit the ground running, got into a meeting and unplugged at like midnight last night. It's just kind of crazy like how fast everything moves in this space. And the kitty stuff, it was moving too fast and I couldn't keep up. I didn't really understand what's going on. I had not discovered their Discord. I walked away from it for like 2 months and I came back in February and things were a lot more sorted by then. I found the Discord. I was like, oh God, there's actually other people who are really into these digital collectibles. And that was the start. It was really finding the community and unlocking the community. Because I wasn't on Twitter at all at the time. And I was on Reddit. And there was nothing on NFTs really going on Reddit. That's kind of how it started. I just, in that February timeframe, I realized people are making money off of CryptoKitties. And I said, okay, I like this. And I don't fully understand it, but I want to. So I'm going to commit to learning and understanding about these digital cats. And I remember just being tickled with myself thinking how silly that is, right? But I'm going to do it. That's what I did. And you know, the rest is history. I became a mod about 2 months later in the CryptoKitties Discord. Then from there, I was able to start to build my personal brand and start to then have really awesome debates and conversations with people in the CryptoKitties community. Really an amazing community. I've made some close friends from that community that I will cherish their friendships for the rest of my life. And I was able to engage with really smart people like Alan Carr. He was on the CryptoKitties team and now he's working on Top Shot. Really smart dude. So I've been really fortunate to be able to have a lot of heated debates with him. Him and I kind of argue and fight in a similar way. You know, we don't take it personally and we can do it in DMs and things.
You're just sparring.
Yeah, absolutely. It's ideas, right? It's about the strongest ideas. And it's okay to attack ideas as long as you're being fair and allow other people to attack your ideas too. There's certain people in this world who I like can very readily debate with, and Alan's one of them. And he really helped me like form some of my opinions and ideas and helped me understand what composability, that was a foreign concept to me about how like I guess CryptoKitties Genetics is like a early form of composability, but then they were trying to do something else with cheese wizards, the ability to transfer power from one wizard to another. And I remember just kind of having my mind blown, thinking about like all the different stuff that you could potentially do with that. And then he convinced us to add some composability into Avastars. So right now you're scrolling through Prime, what we call Avastar Primes, and there'll be a total of 25,200 of those after all series are said and done. But what we have is each Avastar has 12 traits that make it up, and each one of those traits can be used one time to create a replicant. And that's the composability we added into Avastar. So there can potentially be up to 25,200 replicants as well, since you can use each trait one time. You have to use 2 to 5 Avastars primes to create a replicant. So you can't just create a straight clone. But we'll have it so that you can tell if a trait has been used or not. What we're calling it dynamic metadata. So we'll change the metadata on the blockchain, similar to how Cheese Wizards did with their power. And then we'll be able to tell you whether or not a trait has been used or not. So there'll be the idea of a mint condition Avastar Prime eventually. And then there'll be, I guess, grades of use too. Like one could have only one trait used all the way down to completely used up. And then the other thing we're doing with the Avastars replicants is we're launching the replicant token, which is an exit to community strategy here.
Is this alpha leak?
It is actually. I mean, we've kind of been saying it for anybody paying attention, but I'm degenning my own product. I've purchased about 600 or so, and I'm going to keep minting because what's happening here is it wasn't solidified, but the pricing for a replicant was going to be like 0.1 ETH to mint a replicant, and plus whatever the gas cost is, because we do have to go in and change the traits on an Avastar and everything. So it was kind of when this DeFi craze started, but I realized that there was actually a pretty cool utility use case for a replicant token and requiring a token to create a replicant, and that there was a pretty fair distribution model being able to backdrop it to people who have previously purchased and hold Avastars, and then being able to like provide one going forward. I think it'll end up being claimable. So if you go in and find and mint 5 Avastars, you'll have 5 tokens you can go in and claim then. That'll be the only way that you can create replicants. You'll have to have a replicant token, you'll have to have a couple primes with available traits, and then you'll have to have the Ethereum to pay the gas to do the transaction and make the magic happen. But that's how you'll make a Avastar Prime. We're not actually going to charge a fee. Now, we also have intentions to start buying back. So when we finally do make the official announcement, this is an announcement. I don't know. We haven't said like this is when the snapshot takes place and everything else yet. So there's still time to acquire Avastars. When we do the official announcement, we'll also at that time be like singing from the hilltops and letting people know that we're going to start buying back our own Avastars as well. Because the company wants to be able to hold some of these art tokens to make sure that there's always some that are available to the market if like there's really thin availability and stuff. So, and that way too, we can gift them and give them away if we want to. We can, you know, so we're going to start, we'll probably target to go for at least like 1,000 out of each series if the user base allows us to do that. Like there'll be a time frame that we'll let the user base mint and then we'll start minting them to cap the series. We'll probably start that here in series 2. There's a little bit less than 2,000 Avastars left to be minted. Probably by the time we get around to making the formal announcement and everything else, we'll probably try to go for like 1,000 out of the series or something, unless things pick up substantially. Everything depends on gas as well. But the point is that Avastars itself, NFT42 is probably going to hold somewhere between like 3 and 5,000 Avastars. And we're going to try to hold on to that many tokens as well. I personally am going to go for at least 1,000 of these things. I mean, if nothing else, no one else has to like Avastars. I'll buy all of them and I'll just hold on to them forever. In my mind, that project, I know I'm very close to it, but I love what we've built here. And I really do believe that in 2 years' time, people will speak about Avastars next to punks and CryptoKitties. And that's our goal, is that we want to be considered.
I would agree.
Yeah, I mean, right now it's still to be determined, but I will say without shame, we have created the most excellent NFT technically to date, and it may be the best one that will ever exist on Ethereum 1.5, because what we did is not even feasible with gas this high. It would cost us hundreds of Ethereum to upload all of the art to the blockchain like we did.
You have the actual art in the metadata, right?
Yeah, it's all there. And again, we pay the gas fee to Mint. So like the cost and expenses on us. So really like a user, it's hard to find a token that has more like durable value built into it as far as like a collectible goes. Like you don't, as a collector, once you own an Avastar, you're always going to be able to go and get that art and metadata directly off the blockchain. You don't have to worry about us even existing. It's on the chain. So I think there's an extremely strong value proposition there. I mean, something like Punks with their IPFS image is absolutely safe. There's enough of Punks collectors that have an interest in continuing to make sure that that image is on IPFS for this foreseeable future and everything else. CryptoKitties, Dapper is not going anywhere. That their stuff is safe, even though it's, you know, very centralized as far as the art and everything else is concerned, but it's very safe in that regard. You know, we're a much scrappy bootstrap startup. We're much smaller. So even though I believe that Avastar's brand like hits above its weight class and it's aesthetically pleasing and everything else, like one of the main things I want to convey here is like, it's not reliant on us. Once these things exist, like that's it. They're out there. Once this replicant function, and once we launch that, that's going to exist on the blockchain as well. And people are always going to be able to go and interact with a smart contract to create replicants. I think it's extremely powerful. I'm a degenerate collector myself, as we've kind of established here. And for me, I wanted to build something that I really wanted to own and I felt comfortable owning, because I think it's safe to say I'm spent six figures plus on non-fungible tokens. And to me, then it becomes starts to become important to be able to like preserve value and to be able to make sure I'm not wasting and just throwing away money.
The whole idea of these NFTs is like you built something on an apostle and like it's still there once you've exited the earth, once you've died, right? Or like, you know, you pass it on generational.
You tapped in on it too, man. This is my legacy, right? Like I wanted to build something lasting and I see this as an opportunity. I'm not naive. I don't think that Ethereum will like be around for a million years. I have no idea how long. It could be 100, it could be 200. This is like a way to like put a mark in the ground and try, you know, put a flag in the ground. And this is what I did. For me, that's like the cool thing that like keeps me going every day is realizing that I was taking part in building the metaverse. And that's like, to me, the coolest fucking thing that I've ever done in my life is that I actually get to help create this new, better, improved version of the internet. And NFTs play a part in that. And that's the part that I get to participate in. And I'm really just a kid inside and giddy about like being able to do that. The WIP is the beginning of the social metaverse, I think. I mean, it takes place across Discord and Twitter and everything else, but I really love seeing that like virtual presence taking place. And that's like kind of the glimpse into the future that we're starting to build. I mean, if you just think about how primitive CryptoVoxels is right now, even as a gaming experience, like we have so much better available to us on the same devices.
I kind of like how the DeFi crowd, like the hype cycle is spilling over to anything else adjacent to it. And they're like, looking into NFTs, and they're like, you guys are fucking crazy.
Yeah.
You guys are crazy people. Like, this is like, there's nothing much more interesting than what you have right now. And it's kind of like interesting. If there's one hand, it's like, you know, of course you didn't get it.
It's all so chaotic, but that's what makes it great, right, man? Like, because you can look over here and you see one thing, and you look over here and there's something else going on.
I love people being like, this makes no sense why you're excited about this.
The last couple of days, like this whole week, like the DeFi crowd finding NFTs, and now we have everybody's having to explain again, like, why is it that like you can own a picture? Like I can right click and save. And like, it's funny because so many of us who have been familiar with NFTs for a while, like we're so far past that, right? Like we accepted so long ago the idea like, yeah, you can right click and save it, but go sell that picture.
Check out this XCopy new piece that he released. It's genius.
Check it out. XCopy is so great. I almost picked up one of his. Oh, yeah. Right click and save as guy. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's great. I think Hackatow has one out there. Like, that's not like exactly the same, but they kind of make fun of it as well.
Please save me.
Yeah, please save me. Yeah, there you go. You got your finger on it. So funny, too, because I would never like take someone else's and right click and save and display it. Like, if I want to like display some XCopy, I'm going to buy it. Right? I'm going to go find a copy. I'm going to make the sacrifice to go like buy some XCopy so I can display it somewhere. I mean, I've seen other people like display like artwork in their CryptoVoxels that I own. And like, I find that flattering. I don't have a problem with it at all.
Someone should just go around and look for tweets or comments being like, I can just right click and save this and create a gallery of artwork of just screenshots of people saying that. I think that'd be pretty popular.
That's pretty meta, dude. I could definitely see that happening too. It's actually not a bad idea. In my mind, we'd already moved past that, right? But it makes me realize all over again that, and it's, you have to explain NFTs to like new people very often, because like that's like, I kind of dread it.
Yeah, no, I do. I kind of have to sigh and in a way and be like kind, right? I do have to like remember that, like, holy shit, like I asked these questions before, right? I think it's really tough when someone's asking, especially from the DeFi crowd, that they've never like been a content creator before, or they just don't understand, like they're not a creator, or I don't know. Like, I'm not trying to say this in a condescending way, but it's like, I've previously been a visual designer, graphic designer, motion designer. I've uploaded my visual design work to every platform on the internet. The moment like I tokenized, that was like broke my understanding of what is like art creation. It's very hard to kind of explain and articulate the fact that this is a new, entire new medium for content to exist on the internet.
Right, because it doesn't seem that way to someone looking from the outside, right? They're like, what are you talking about? Like, you're just like, you know, buying pictures of things like on the internet.
Yeah, you're buying pictures. Stop buying pictures. You're wasting your money.
That's the revolution, that we're actually buying digital pictures and we can prove that we own them.
You can buy pictures now.
Right, and that we can sell them to somebody else or give them as a gift to somebody else. Like, that's actually like so powerful. And that's where I decided I was into CryptoKitties for almost like 18 months solid, probably not quite that long, but close to it, without touching any other NFT. And then I started to realize how powerful NFTs are for art, because provenance is extremely important, and counterfeit and all that is extremely important and costly in the art world. I mean, just being able to keep up with provenance alone, I think, is probably like a third or something in value of the art. I didn't go to school for art or anything. I'm not an expert. This stuff I picked up on the last couple of years, I'm probably wrong about numbers and things. But anyways, I realized, but probably along with a lot of other people, is that the idea of perfect provenance can exist in NFT, because it holds, in NFTs, like the whole package. It holds the ledger that proves the ownership chain. You can prove ownership all the way back to the creator. It also stores the value in the like previous sales. The metadata, it can store all of the data on that object. I mean, imagine like Da Vinci adding all the metadata that he could to the Mona Lisa, like where it was painted, when it was painted, who his subject was, like how many questions would we have answered that have now been lost in time forever just from like preserved metadata. And then of course, the potential for the image itself to be completely preserved on the blockchain. Granted, that's not like the systems that we have in place today. IPFS is a good stopgap for the time being. We've started to see some use on ARWeave as well. ARWeave, sorry, I always say the name wrong there. So that was the other project I didn't mention. You know, I mentioned Avastars, I mentioned Token Smart, which is doing the whip, and we're also going to be doing the Meta Olympics. The third thing that we have is Infinity, which is a token minting platform. Our claim to fame, our innovation there, was that we do stick all the metadata directly on chain, which I was just talking about here. And then we also are storing the images on both Arweave, I got it right that time, and IPFS. There's some redundancy there as well. They're technically, the images are stored on chain. Even extremely large image files are stored on chain. And when we say that, they're not stored on the Ethereum blockchain in this case, but they're stored on the Arweave blockchain. Because we've been talking in the crypto Twitter and stuff over the last couple of weeks about high gas, and people are, you know, the extreme cost of minting NFTs, and people are talking about moving to layer two solutions or moving to different blockchains. I want to point out that you can read data from any blockchain and associate it with data on another blockchain. So like in this case, Infinity, we're on Ethereum, but we store information on the Arweave blockchain. We're not going to do this. We are going to build Infinity on the Flow blockchain. Let's say that we wanted to port over our NFTs on Ethereum into the Flow experience. We would point to the same data that already exists. We would just be creating like a new token, but we would probably still continue to point to the same metadata that exists on Ethereum. And we would point to the same metadata or the same art data that exists on Arweave. So that token could exist on Flow and be pulling metadata.
It makes sense to kind of establish independence, right? Or chain independence for the actual metadata.
Yeah, I think so. That's like a transfer can be much easier, or a migration or something can be much easier than like actually like moving one thing to another. There's just like the ability to reassociate the same data. It's interesting because I think we are going to start thinking about data and everything else more. And the thought experiment I've been doing is like, how much data do we actually need to move and how much of it is already just on a chain so it doesn't have to move? We just have to point to it in a new way. So I think that's really interesting. And there is starting to be some conversation about intra-blockchain interoperability and metadata standards around that and everything else.
I think it's like once you get the incentives down, now there's not a whole ton of interoperability of these assets simply because there's no real incentive to do so.
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, it's someone wanting to tinker that's going to put something like that together.
The moment two projects gain a whole ton more by enabling interoperability of assets, then they're going to do it. They're going to prioritize, they're going to push for it. They're going to eagerly want to do it. And I think it's a matter of time. I guess it's kind of like DeFi and composability there, right? A lot of the stuff in DeFi weren't terribly useful for a long time, just simply because there weren't enough pieces and kind of out there that you could kind of glue them together, right? It's like DAI stablecoins. Like before stablecoins were out, like ETHLEND were trying to like create lending markets for ETH and didn't really work. That came out and then lending markets started emerging, right? And then suddenly had this like ability to find extra leverage. You had lending protocols now and then everything started to like slowly accelerate, right? And a similar thing in the NFT space will likely happen. It's like, it's kind of this feedback loop between like content and the metaverses and different, pieces of like different games, different like piece of content out there that mints these NFTs in their own context. And it's almost like then these NFTs exist in this NFT like crypto native economy. Both sides of this NFT space, both like they feed into each other, right? I think, when you're building an NFT game right now, I think it's very hard to ignore what's happening in the rest of the NFT ecosystem. It's there to leverage. It's there for you to gain as well as, add value to, right? That's where you find users. That's where you create unique experiences. That's my thoughts, at least.
I am 100% in agreement with you. Like, you're right. Like, we watched how the Lego pieces got thrown on the ground or the floor, basically, for DeFi. And then people started to build with those blocks. For me, it's never moving fast enough. But then when I take a closer look, everything's moving really fast, right? So what you're describing, we did something also with Avastars and the traits and the ability to compose those traits and create a replicant. That functionality is actually completely decentralized. And people can actually use Avastar traits however they want if they own the Avastar. Now, we haven't set out any additional functions for those things. And I don't know what use cases or if any will actually emerge. But the ones that we talked about initially were like, what if you had to burn a legendary trait in order to have a membership to a club in CryptoVoxels or to get into a club in CryptoVoxels? Like, you'd actually have to burn a legendary trait that could be used to create a replicant to gain membership for like a year. And it's funny because there's actually no value gained on the part of the club by you burning that trait. It's actually you just lost something, which I think is an interesting, like, it's like social capital, but it's actually like real capital, but it's burned. It goes away. That's probably like the worst use case that anybody could give as an example. But I just literally can't think of different use cases because there's not enough pieces on the board right now for us to put together and make different shit out of it. But one day, the hope and dream is that people could somehow use these Avastar traits to create new NFTs, and then you could prove that was created from an Avastar. A better example might be a pixelized avatar in Sandbox Land that like uses the Avastar traits, and you're able to like say, this is my Sandbox Avastar, and here's how I prove that it was actually made from Avastar parts.
There's a ton to dig. We probably need to do a part two, honestly.
Yeah, and an hour's probably about as long as I want anybody to listen to me anyways.
There's something, definitely lagging behind in another meeting here, and it's been great chatting. I guess, I think we should be ending it off here for now, right? It's been great having you on, Jim. I'll catch you around.
Sounds good, Peter. Thanks for having me, man. I really enjoyed it.
Thanks a lot.
If you enjoyed what you listened to and are interested in supporting this podcast, then please follow us on Twitter at Wizard of Dapps. The show notes will be on our website, and if you want to continue the conversation, join our Telegram group. All links will be in the episode description. Thanks for listening.